from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
They're going to blow for full time right there.
It's time for a look back on today's match.
This is the Full Time Report, the home for MLS in Atlanta. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
It is the Full Time Report. Abe Gordon and Garrett Chapman in Mercedes-Benz Stadium. A 2-2 draw, Atlanta United with the Houston Dynamo. We have a lot of reaction and a lot of analysis to get to, but we want to start out the Full Time Report today by hearing what Rob Valentino has to say at the press conference.
I didn't want to look too in the past that we talked about moving forward. So if I look at this game and what we talked about in training and things like that, you see glimpses a little bit, and I think maybe that's natural of where we should really be at and what we have to go and try to get better at. There's grit there. But we talked about after the first session we had, I said, like, I'm not going to talk about intensity being better anymore because it's a prerequisite. So, like, they had that. Now it's about getting better at and continuing to progress in certain things.
Go to Danelle and Joe.
Coach, on the bright side, maybe, what your thoughts on how Luke Brennan played? As soon as he kind of subbed in, it felt like he changed the energy a little bit.
Yeah, it was. I mean, that's a tough moment to come into. Like, you're not – this is – well, let me go to this. We tell the guys, prepare for every moment, and you never know when your name's going to get called on. And he didn't start the game, and all of a sudden, 18 minutes in, he's got to step in. And I think what Lukey did was awesome. It was – he showed bravery. He went at them. Like, he was a nuisance. I felt like he caused them a lot of problems. And that's great to see. So for him, I just said to him, like, kudos to him. He came into a tough situation, and that's a really good message for the locker room too. Like, you never know when your moment comes, and sometimes that can be like, oh, yeah, I've heard this before. But it's, man, that rang true tonight. And I wish he could have capped it off at that last chance, but he should be proud of himself.
No. Yeah, what'd you tell Luke when you knew you were going to put him on at that point in the game?
I told him, go be brave. Go at people. Do what you normally do. Because that for me, like, being relentless like that, you know, that's something that's one of his characteristics. But he's not had a lot of opportunities at the first team level. And you get put on that stage, like, don't shy away from it. Be you and take people on. So I felt like he did a good job of that.
Just sit.
Rob, just a couple of questions. First off, Edwin, do you have an early prognosis on his injury or no?
No, I don't have anything yet. Sorry.
Okay. And then second question, I guess, you know, it's difficult to ask this after a result like that, but what are some of sort of the positive things you saw? I mean, Shonda had a really good goal, and then Danny as well had a really good goal. What are some of the positives you saw, I guess, in your first matches?
The positive I saw is also a negative. It's the way we started the game. But I told them before the game, when you're in moments like this, you've got two options. You can either stand up and fight, or you can give up. And the other option is not really one for me. So they stood up, they fought back, they got themselves back in the game, back in the lead. And yeah, that's the positive I will take from it. And then we'll look at the little intricacies of how we can get better at training and the time we have or what we can really go at in different ways.
Going to back to Luke, it seemed like he was, you know, he seemed very confident. He obviously seemed to be getting into the opposition's heads a bit there. What do you have to say about that? Do you feel like that's something he should lean on a little bit?
Yeah, he's got to be smart in that because he can't always play emotional. But I'm not saying he did, but he can't always get in opposition heads. Sometimes they're not going to respond to that. I think we all know the guy he was going up against has some emotions, and he usually channels them really, really well sometimes. So I think that Luke did a good job getting under their skin. But it can't be every game like that for him. So.
It seemed like some of the buildup was a little bit rather kind of slow, kind of to start off. The team seemed to have a little bit of trouble kind of getting forward. Is that, how concerning is that to you, and how would you look to address that potentially?
I mean, that's not something that I would say I'm concerned with because it's the first game, so we really need to evaluate things of what we've tried to change. I would have liked us, like we talked about before, I would have wanted to be a little bit more direct at times. I thought we played backwards too often, so we need to look at how we can be a little bit more pragmatic and a little bit smarter to go forward, and how we can look at different rotations of guys to get them more comfortable in the build-up you call. But I talk about being better of pulling teams out and getting in behind them. I felt like we didn't do that in the first half, and we talked about that, how we can open them up, and then we can create space to play. So it's just something that they're going to have, like, we'll have to adapt to each other, right? We have to figure out how we can be different than we were and more effective.
It's Abe Gordon, it's Garrett Chapman. It is the full-time report here at Mercedes-Benz Stadium, and those were the words of Rob Valentino after a 2-2 draw, Atlanta United and the Houston Dynamo. Garrett, and this is one range of emotions. Yeah. I mean, from the very start, you go down 5 minutes in. Not only you go down, but you go down to our old buddy Franco Escobar. So a little insult on injury there. And you fight your way back. 20 minutes later, Daniel Rios puts one home. You finally have a lead there in the second half. You had said it in the pregame show, fight and claw for that second goal.
Yeah.
They did that, and they come within a couple of moments of finding 3 points here at home. So a little bit of up, a little bit of down in Rob Valentino's debut, his second reign here as Atlanta United interim. But just generally your thoughts here, Garrett.
I saw a lot of good from these guys today, and a lot of it had to do with that mental game, because they go down early, in the fifth minute, like you mentioned, and they didn't seem to stutter too much, and then they come back, and they seem to control a lot of the rest of the match, all the way up until the goal to the equalizer in the 89th minute. And I mean, I saw a lot of positives. Luke Brennan came in, looked strong. Johnny Silva continued his strong run of play. Daniel Rios was able to connect on a goal, only his second of the season. And ultimately, I mean, like, you're playing against a team that's not exactly dynamic in attack, but they've scored 7 goals in their last 3 matches now. I mean, they're a team that's been playing really good soccer here as of late, and Atlanta United was able to come away with a point. I would have really liked to have seen a full 3 points, because I feel like Atlanta deserved all 3 points after the way they played today, the way they clawed back after that early deficit, but it was not meant to be. And, I mean, Rob Valentino has a lot to be pleased with. He also has a lot that he can build on.
Yeah, look, you do put a stop to the 5 straight losses at home, but you still haven't broken the streak there in terms of getting all 3 points, getting a win here at home. Was very close to being incredibly pleased,
so close,
but was not to be. Let's take a look at some of the numbers tonight. This statistical recap brought to you by Piedmont. Piedmont Healthcare offers you exceptional hassle-free care closer to home. Piedmont, the official adult healthcare provider of Atlanta United. Houston in the second half really ramped up the possession. They end the game with 55%. They were below 50% in the first half. Shots in favor of Houston, 19-12. Shots on goal in favor of Houston, 9-5. But XG sides with Atlanta United, 2.01 versus 1.55 on the site that I saw. Obviously, we know, and I've talked about how different numbers on different sites, so you can go figure out the math on that one. But again, it was just so close to being what you needed it to be, and then in the 89th minute, it did fall apart a little bit. One last thing here before we break here in this first segment, Garrett Chapman, as we do always in the first segment, your man of the match.
I got to give it to Luke Brennan. I can't necessarily sit down and point to one statistical category that he was just overwhelming, but you know, I mean, there's a reason he was a focal point of that press conference. He's 18 years old. He's coming in, and he's playing at a high level. He's playing with a lot of emotion with that chip on his shoulder. Loved seeing that energy, and he was a spark plug for this team because after he comes into this match, Atlanta United seemed to take a bit of a hold on the run of play. And it wasn't soon after that that they were able to put a ball in the back of the net. And I think he had a lot to do with that. I mean, considering the fact this is, his second appearance ever for the Ones. In his last appearance, he played 3 minutes. I mean,
non-U.S. Open Cup.
No. I mean,
in MLS play.
Yes, in MLS play. And he had 72 minutes of a strong performance for Atlanta, for the Ones. And, I mean, a lot of positives from him.
There's going to be a lot of discussion about Luke Brennan and his role moving forward, at least in the short term, if not also in the long term. In a little bit, we are going to welcome Mike Connie and Jason Longshore, the voices of Atlanta United, back into the fold. But we got a couple of things to take care of before we get to that, and we'll do it on the other side. It is Abe Gordon and Garrett Chapman at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. It is the full-time report. Atlanta United and Houston Dynamo play to a 2-2 draw on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops and thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Full time!
This is the Full Time Report
on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Welcome back into the full-time report on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Garrett Chapman and Abe Gordon here at Mercedes-Benz Stadium as Atlanta United draws with the Houston Dynamo 2-2 here. They do snap a five-game losing streak against Houston, but the seven-game winless streak has extended by one. But let's get into some highlights. Abe Gordon, what do you say? Because these highlights are brought to you by Scana, because for over 20 years, Scana Energy has made it easy for Georgians to receive the best natural gas rates and excellent customer service. Call 877-467-2262 to sign up today. And it was not a great start for Atlanta United under new manager Rob Valentino. Houston dominated the opening 5 minutes of the match, and they were rewarded with a goal on a set piece from an old friend.
This will be sent out of the near corner by Artur. Goal to our left, scoreless in the fifth minute. Sent to the near post, and it's kicked off the crossbar. Header back towards goal is in. Franco Escobar. And here we go again. Atlanta United concedes less than 5 minutes into the game at home, and they have been completely outplayed to begin the game.
Escobar, of course, with Atlanta United for four seasons, helping the club win three trophies, including MLS Cup in 2018. But Luke Brennan was able to come into the match in about the 17th minute or so and provide a bit of a spark. And then in the 25th minute, Atlanta claws back with a Daniel Rios finish.
Kick this down the middle for Rios in a 1v1 with Mikael. And Mikael gets it, but the Rios steals it away. Rios now dribbling in on goal. 1v3. Rios has it knocked away from him. Gets it back. Backheel now to Brennan. Brennan's cross. Almada's shot. Save. Rebound. Score! Daniel Rios! Atlanta United finds the equalizer in the 25th minute. Persistence pays off.
That is the second goal of the season for Daniel Rios. And that was your score heading into the halftime locker room, all knotted up 1-1. But in the 54th minute, Atlanta United caps off a very strong opening 10 minutes of play. Jean De Silva with a punishing goal to snatch a 2-1 lead.
They'll drive it over to Wiley in the central channel. Ahead to Jean De Silva in the near offensive corner. He dribbles to the end line. Then it bounces off into the edge of the six. Tavagel shot! Score! Goal! What's up? Roofed it, and the roof is about to come off the bends. It's 2-1 Atlanta United.
And after going 15 matches without a goal, Jean De Silva now has two in a row with a goal. And it looked like Atlanta United was going to come out here victorious with a 2-1 win over Houston Dynamo, but it was not to be. In the 89th minute, Houston Dynamo equalizes.
As Artur will roll it ahead to Dorsey on the right wing. He'll dribble now against Wiley into the attacking third. Dorsey, cutback pass, Carrasquilla, pitch to the back post, Blessing traps, shoots, and scores. Is the flag down? They say onside. They say no handball. Houston has equalized in the 89th minute. Incredible.
Yeah, just like Mike said, incredible indeed. Atlanta United does snap a five-game losing streak, but the winless streak extends to seven games. Abe Gordon, come on in here. I want to talk a little bit about Luke Brennan before we get to break and welcome in Mike Conti and Jason Longshore. And, of course, we're going to continue that conversation with them when they come in here. But Luke Brennan really felt like he was the spark plug for these guys tonight.
Well, look, Garrett, a lot of us, myself included, really hadn't seen a ton of Luke Brennan until the first U.S. Open Cup match there at Fifth Third Stadium. And we knew going in that he was going to be one of the bright spots for Atlanta United in that match. And on the right side, he absolutely was. And it led us to have questions with our good friends Joe Patrick, Jarrett Smith, among others, about, hey, what can he do with the twos or in the U.S. Open Cup to maybe find a spot to prove himself with the first team? And he's kind of been in and out of both lineups, but obviously playing with the twos, not playing here. But he's been available off the bench in some situations, and today was one of those situations. But we've been asking about, hey, we're not getting anything on the left side. Yeah. Obviously, with Saba now gone for the moment with the Euros on the right side, would we see Luke Brennan? You mentioned it to me in a break earlier today during the pregame show. And today, you know, unfortunately, obviously for Mascara, that's the opportunity that Luke Brennan got. And I would be shocked if I saw him sitting on the bench as a reserve next game. Yeah. I think he has absolutely shown, and I think we heard from Rob Valentino in the post game as well. I think he absolutely proved what you would hope he could prove. What he did against in the twos and what he did in the U.S. Open Cup, you would hope is what he would bring to the field here in the MLS against the top-tier guys. And that's absolutely what he did. He's running at guys. He's taking guys on. He made a great pass for what was a near goal from Almada. The shot was saved, and then it did turn into a goal for Rios. He obviously is not going to get an assist for that.
No.
But it was the right play. It was the right pass. He uses space well. He takes guys on. It's what you've been looking for, specifically from the lack of play on the left side. Obviously, he's on the right side, but that is the sort of performance you've been asking for. And you wondered if he would do it at the MLS level. Tonight, he did.
You needed a lightning rod. And I think that's what he came in and was able to provide. And ironically, it's an 18-year-old who's running around the field with some reckless abandon. You know? Sometimes it takes some youthful ignorance.
You know what's funny is I watched him at the U.S. Open Cup, and we knew he was young, and that's fine. He didn't look young.
No.
And I don't even mean from his play. I mean just physically he didn't look young. Like tonight on the Jumbotron, after he was fouled in the far end of the corner, they zoomed in on him like, oh, man, he really does look young, though. And maybe that's just me being a little too old. But he does look young. But he didn't play young tonight. There are going to be games. There are going to be stretches where he struggled. I think we expect that with any young player who's just finding his first minutes in MLS. So it's not always going to be positive, 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 and I think that's okay.
Yeah.
But tonight was not one of those nights. Tonight he was absolutely a bright spot.
Yeah, he was able to do it with pace. He did it with just quickness off the side. And I mean, it was a good thing for Atlanta United to see. I mean, and ironically, like that's in a season where there haven't been a lot of positives. Of course, you have a manager who's fired. You have injuries throughout the course of the season. It's been a home losing streak that's just been dreadful. But you have had a ton of bright spots. And specifically, it's with these young players. You look at Caleb Wiley, who's 19 years old. You look at Noah Cobb, who's 18 years old. You look at Luke Brennan, who's 18 years old. All of these guys are giving you meaningful minutes. But on top of that, they look good. They have been some of the better players on the pitch for you as the season's gone along. And that's just a testament to what this team and this club have done in progressing homegrown players and getting them to that next level to where they can compete with the ones and dominate the twos. And I think the experience that he gets with those twos has been instrumental in what he's been able to do tonight. And I think moving forward, I don't know if we necessarily see him over the next couple of weeks. Maybe as long as Saba's gone, I think we see him.
Well, it also depends what's going on with Mosquera, which we don't have a report on yet.
Because do want him to be getting meaningful minutes, and I do want to ask Jason Longshore about that here when we're coming up here on the other side. And let's go ahead and get to that, because Jason Longshore, Mike Conte, I'm sure they have tons of valuable insight, and I want to hear what they have to say about Luke Brennan and his performance this evening. This is the Full-Time Report. Garrett Chapman, Abe Gordon, Houston Dynamo, and Atlanta United play to a 2-2 draw. We'll have more here on the other side. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Back to the Full-Time Report.
Full-time, full-time.
Our United play here. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Welcome back into the Full-Time Report. Abe Gordon and Garrett Chapman. After a 2-2 draw, Atlanta United starts out the second reign of Rob Valentino and the second half of this MLS season, picking up 1 point at home. It was so close to being much more than that, but they do concede in the 89th minute, an equalizer for Latif Blessing there, and Houston is able to find a way to grab a point as well. I'd like to bring in the voices of Atlanta United, Mike Conte and Jason Longshore. Obviously, I know Garrett is geared up to ask you guys about Luke Brennan. I'm going to give him a moment to do that, but I wanted to start out with just your initial assessment of this first game of Rob Valentino, his second tenure here as Atlanta United interim manager.
I think they'll be happy about a lot. I think they'll be frustrated about some things, obviously. Showed good resilience to come back from a trailing position, take a lead. You give up a goal in the 89th minute at home to drop 2 points. And that ultimately is the takeaway from this match, which is why I don't feel super great about it. But there, I think, again, a lot of positive things. It's interesting, Jason. I've seen some people comment on the app formerly known as Twitter that, well, the effort was better tonight. I don't know. I think the effort's been there all year. I don't think effort has been a problem for this team. I thought it was a good effort tonight. I think the effort has been good most of the season. If you were looking maybe for one semi-tangible thing to take out of this, like what was maybe one of the noticeable differences with the coaching change tonight, I would point out, and we talked about this on the game broadcast, Atlanta United came out of halftime, good intensity, looked a lot better at the start of the second half than they did at the first. Possibly the result of a halftime talk, possibly not. But if you're looking for little hints on things that Rob Valentino may have done tonight, you do have that.
Yeah, and you also started really poorly. I mean, you can't whitewash that either, because that was a huge issue. That was not expected. That was not what we've seen this season, with the team looking completely shell-shocked to start the match. Now, they responded, and I think Luke Brendan was a big part of that with giving the team some life on that right side. But for Houston to get the opportunities that they did so often and so quickly, that's a huge issue. I do like the response. I talked about it in the broadcast. You have to show something in those kinds of moments, because this team's not at full strength. There are probably internal questions in the roster, within the locker room. When you see a manager lose their job, there are a lot of emotions that go into that. And I think if you've listened to what Brad Kazan and Brooks Lennon and Dax McCarty have said this week, yeah, it's an emotional whirlwind. And that's kind of how they looked to start the match. That's not acceptable. And that changed, and it got corrected, and the start of the second half was much better. But you go back to the goal that Houston ends up getting a point on, and it's a poorly organized midfield. Yeah. And everyone collapses with the ball out wide to the right, and you have basically eight guys deep, and Karaskia is able to pop into a free spot and float in a ball to the back post, which you just can't let happen at that point.
Yeah, Luke Brennan, he had a tremendous performance today. He was our man of the match. He was the Atlanta United's man of the match here at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. What did you make of him today? And what did you make of that? Not even just his performance, but the energy that he was able to bring to the side.
I mean, I've been talking about Luke Brennan since he was a 16-year-old academy player when he got his debut for Atlanta United too. And you know, this is why I spend the time that I do calling Atlanta United 2 games and trying to tell the stories of these players. We had it on a Soccer Down Here special this summer, or this preseason, where I got to sit down with Brennan for about 15 minutes in preseason, and to be able to follow his growth from not just looking like a kid, but playing like a kid early on, a fearless kid, but a kid, to being able to sit with him in preseason, and he's a pro. He might not be a regular MLS starter and contributor yet. It's a process that takes time. But he is a professional, and he understands the game really, really well. And what I like about him is just that fearlessness. You know, I think it was one of the first things that I said about him when he came into the match. Rob Valentino echoed that when he spoke to the media. He will constantly try to beat you in a 1v1. If it's a 1v2, he doesn't care. He's still going to try to make something happen out of it. But he's not reckless with that. He doesn't force things in bad spots where turnovers can happen and hurt you going the other way. He's got to contribute more goals and assists, and that's been the conversation about Brennan since last season, where he was one of the most dangerous players in MLS Next Pro in creating danger. I watched a game against Inter Miami too, where he gets a Miami fullback so flustered that he gets two yellow cards in 30 minutes and gets sent off. Like, that's what he does to teams. But with all that said, he's got to get more assists. He's got to create more chances. He's got to get more goals. That's the next step for him.
If Edwin Mosquera is out injured for any real length of time, we do have a game midweek on the road. Would you expect that Luke Brennan is in the starting lineup 4 days from now on Wednesday?
Oh, I mean, it's twofold. Yes, after a good performance here, but who else could it be?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, we have to be realistic about it, and you never know when that opportunity's coming if you're a young player. You need to be careful with young players, especially attackers, especially, you know, guys in the back line. We've had this conversation about Noah Cobb as well, who has also kind of graduated to being just a regular guy now. No worries about his age anymore. You have to be careful with young players. You don't want to put them in. You don't want to throw them in at the deep end where they're in over their head. But right now, you don't really have many options.
Other than Tyler Wolfe, but I don't think he would be able to start if he wasn't to make the bench tonight. You want to look at him to start on Wednesday. No. Mm-hmm. There's also the possibility of a short-term injury call-up. That is something I think you have for a year. Atlanta United has only used one to this point this year.
Well, you can just do a short-term call-up on guys. Like, I mean, call up Matias Gallardo and have him up. Yet the international spots become a little bit of an issue. I think you'd be okay with that. You've got some possibilities there. Ashton Gordon, who is on a first-team deal, he can play on the wing. You might need that for depth, but you're not going to bring them up to start them over Brennan.
Right.
So it's a little bit of a process of elimination. Now, you could play three center backs, but you don't really have a lot of center back depth either. So you can't really do that very easily either. So you kind of are what you are at this point.
That is interesting, though. That could put Ronald Hernandez potentially in play, and then you could play Brooks Lennon maybe up a little higher.
Well, I think what you would do would be play three center backs. You'd play wing backs. You're not playing wingers. You can then get away with not playing a winger. You'd have the option to go to that off of the bench. You might have to see that when you rotate the pieces and just the fatigue that's going to set in over the next week.
And I wouldn't hate that against Benteke either. I mean, if you can get a 3v2 matchup up top against DC, that might not be a bad thing. DC, by the way, they have not won a game since they won here in Atlanta.
Mm.
They're also struggling right now. So when I say that's a winnable game on Wednesday, I mean it. That is absolutely a winnable game.
Yeah, definitely need to take Benteke out as compared to what he did a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, rather not see him score a hat trick.
Yeah, can't have that happen.
That would not be good.
Atlanta United would like to remind you that for each Atlanta United clean sheet this season, they will donate $2,000 to the Children's Healthcare of Atlanta. This year's donation total is currently $6,000, and that's obviously got to change. We got to get a couple more clean sheets, and we'll hope to do that on Wednesday, as you mentioned. A lot more to come with Mike and Jason, the voices of Atlanta United. It's Abe Gordon and Garrett Chapman. It is the full-time report, a 2-2 draw. Houston and Atlanta splitting a point each today at Mercedes-Benz Stadium right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Back with more full-time report.
A complete review of today's match on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Welcome back into the full-time report. Garrett Chapman, Abe Gordon, joined by the voices of Atlanta United, Mike Conti, and Jason Longshore. As Atlanta United does end their losing streak at home, but they don't end the winless skid, that it moves to 7 games, courtesy of a 2-2 draw with Houston Dynamo. Make sure you are getting those questions into us on Twitter at GChapATL, at Abe Gordon, at Longshore, and at Mike Conti 929. We will...
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoop.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress.
Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Back to the full-time report.
Full-time. Full-time.
Our United play here. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Welcome back into the full-time report. Abe Gordon and Garrett Chapman. After a 2-2 draw, Atlanta United starts out the second reign of Rob Valentino and the second half of this MLS season, picking up 1 point at home. It was so close to being much more than that, but they do concede in the 89th minute, an equalizer for Latif Blessing there, and Houston is able to find a way to grab a point as well. I'd like to bring in the voices of Atlanta United, Mike Conte and Jason Longshore. Obviously, I know Garrett is geared up to ask you guys about Luke Brennan. I'm going to give him a moment to do that, but I wanted to start out with just your initial assessment of this first game of Rob Valentino, his second tenure here as Atlanta United interim manager.
I think they'll be happy about a lot. I think they'll be frustrated about some things, obviously. Showed good resilience to come back from a trailing position, take a lead. You give up a goal in the 89th minute at home to drop 2 points. That ultimately is the takeaway from this match, which is why I don't feel super great about it. But there, I think, again, a lot of positive things. It's interesting, Jason. I've seen some people comment on the app formerly known as Twitter that, well, the effort was better tonight. I don't know. I think the effort's been there all year. I don't think effort has been a problem for this team. I thought it was a good effort tonight. I think the effort has been good most of the season. If you were looking maybe for one semi-tangible thing to take out of this, like what was maybe one of the noticeable differences with the coaching change tonight, I would point out, and we talked about this on the game broadcast, Atlanta United came out of halftime, good intensity, looked a lot better at the start of the second half than they did at the first. Possibly the result of a halftime talk, possibly not. But if you're looking for little hints on things that Rob Valentino may have done tonight, you do have that.
Yeah, and you also started really poorly. I mean, you can't whitewash that either, because that was a huge issue. That was not expected. That was not what we've seen this season, with the team looking completely shell-shocked to start the match. Now, they responded, and I think Luke Brennan was a big part of that with giving the team some life on that right side. But for Houston to get the opportunities that they did so often and so quickly, that's a huge issue. I do like the response. I talked about it in the broadcast. You have to show something in those kinds of moments, because this team's not at full strength. There are probably internal questions in the roster, within the locker room. When you see a manager lose their job, there are a lot of emotions that go into that. And I think if you've listened to what Brad Gazan and Brooks Lennon and Dax McCarty have said this week, yeah, it's an emotional whirlwind. And that's kind of how they looked to start the match. That's not acceptable. And that changed, and it got corrected, and the start of the second half was much better. But you go back to the goal that Houston ends up getting a point on, and it's a poorly organized midfield. Yeah. And everyone collapses with the ball out wide to the right, and you have basically eight guys deep, and Karaskia is able to pop into a free spot and float in a ball to the back post, which you just can't let happen at that point.
Yeah, Luke Brennan, he had a tremendous performance today. He was our man of the match. He was the Atlanta United's man of the match here at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. What did you make of him today? And what did you make of not even just his performance, but the energy that he was able to bring to the side?
I mean, I've been talking about Luke Brennan since he was a 16-year-old academy player when he got his debut for Atlanta United too. And, you know, this is why I spend the time that I do calling Atlanta United 2 games and trying to tell the stories of these players. We had it on a Soccer Down Here special this summer, or this preseason, where I got to sit down with Brennan for about 15 minutes in preseason. And to be able to follow his growth from not just looking like a kid, but playing like a kid early on, a fearless kid, but a kid, to being able to sit with him in preseason, and he's a pro. He might not be a regular MLS starter and contributor yet. It's a process that takes time, but he is a professional and he understands the game really, really well. And what I like about him is just that fearlessness. You know, I think it was one of the first things that I said about him when he came into the match. Rob Valentino echoed that when he spoke to the media. He will constantly try to beat you in a 1v1. If it's a 1v2, he doesn't care. He's still going to try to make something happen out of it. But he's not reckless with that. He doesn't force things in bad spots where turnovers can happen and hurt you going the other way. He's got to contribute more goals and assists, and that's been the conversation about Brennan since last season, where he was one of the most dangerous players in MLS Next Pro in creating danger. I watched a game against Inter Miami too, where he gets a Miami fullback so flustered that he gets two yellow cards in 30 minutes and gets sent off. Like, that's what he does to teams. But with all that said, he's got to get more assists. He's got to create more chances. He's got to get more goals. That's the next step for him.
If Edwin Mosquera is out injured for any real length of time, we do have a game midweek on the road. Would you expect that Luke Brennan is in the starting lineup 4 days from now on Wednesday?
I mean, it's twofold. Yes, after a good performance here, but who else could it be?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, we have to be realistic about it, and you never know when that opportunity is coming if you're a young player. You need to be careful with young players, especially attackers, especially, you know, guys in the back line. We've had this conversation about Noah Cobb as well, who has also kind of graduated to being just a regular guy now. No worries about his age anymore. You have to be careful with young players. You don't want to put them in. You don't want to throw them in at the deep end where they're in over their head. But right now, you don't really have many options.
Other than Tyler Wolf, but I don't think he would be able to start if he wasn't even able to make the bench tonight. You want to look at him to start on Wednesday. No. Mm-hmm. There's also the possibility of a short-term injury call-up. That is something. I think you have 4 a year. Atlanta United has only used 1 to this point this year.
Well, you can just do a short-term call-up on guys. You could call up Matias Gallardo and have him up. Yet the international spots become a little bit of an issue. I think you'd be okay with that. You've got some possibilities there. Ashton Gordon, who is on a first-team deal, he can play on the wing. You might need that for depth, but you're not going to bring them up to start them over Brennan.
Right.
So it's a little bit of a process of elimination. Now, you could play 3 center backs, but you don't really have a lot of center back depth either. So you can't really do that very easily either. So you kind of are what you are at this point.
That is interesting, though. That could put Ronald Hernandez potentially in play, and then you could play Brooks Lennon maybe up a little higher.
Well, I think what you would do would be play 3 center backs. You'd play wing backs. You're not playing wingers. You can then get away with not playing a winger. You'd have the option to go to that off of the bench. You might have to see that when you rotate the pieces and just the fatigue that's going to set in over the next week.
And I wouldn't hate that against Benteke either. I mean, if you can get a 3v2 matchup up top against DC, that might not be a bad thing. DC, by the way, they have not won a game since they won here in Atlanta. They're also struggling right now. So when I say that's a winnable game on Wednesday, I mean it. That is absolutely a winnable game.
Yeah, definitely need to take Benteke out as compared to what he did a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, rather not see him score a hat trick.
Yeah, can't have that happen.
That would not be good.
Atlanta United would like to remind you that for each Atlanta United clean sheet this season, they will donate $2,000 to the Children's Healthcare of Atlanta. This year's donation total is currently $6,000, and that's obviously got to change. We got to get a couple more clean sheets, and we'll hope to do that on Wednesday, as you mentioned. A lot more to come with Mike and Jason, the voices of Atlanta United. It's Abe Gordon and Garrett Chapman. It is the full-time report, a 2-2 draw. Houston and Atlanta splitting a point each today at Mercedes-Benz Stadium right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Back,
back with more Full-Time Report.
A complete review of today's match on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Welcome back into the Full-Time Report. Garrett Chapman, Abe Gordon, joined by the voices of Atlanta United, Mike Conti and Jason Longshore, as Atlanta United does end their losing streak at home, but they don't end the winless skid, that it moves to 7 games, courtesy of a 2-2 draw with Houston Dynamo. Make sure you are getting those questions into us on Twitter at GChapATL, at Abe Gordon, at Longshore, and at Mike Conti 929. We will take your questions there. Make sure to get them into us as we go along. We got 2 segments to go, so make sure you get those in. But guys, I do have one question here, and I want to kind of frame it. It was a not exactly, it was more of a statement than a question, but I'm going to turn it into a question. We do get 2 goals today against a very dynamic defending squad in Houston Dynamo, and we do that without the designated player at striker, Yorgos Giakoumakis. What did you see from these guys in attack, and how good is it to see Jhande Silva continue to score goals?
Well, 2 very different types of goals. The first one starts on a little bit of a gift, where you get a zone 14 turnover. Rios is able to kind of then make something out of, I don't want to say out of nothing, but out of a low odds position where he back heels to Brennan. The ball eventually cycles back off a rebound from an Almada shot, and Rios scores. I don't think that's any proof of, well, if Giakoumakis was playing, that might have unfolded differently. I think it was just a good, persistent goal by Atlanta United. The second one was a golazo by Jhande Silva. Really good decision by him to take that tough angle shot. I thought the goalkeeper, Steve Craig, completely baffled. Didn't even move. Look, you're going to see a lot of Jamal Thiaré and Daniel Rios going forward, and eventually this summer Atlanta United will have to sign another striker. But as we have said before, this is not going to be the same as 2020 when Joseph Martinez was hurt and you were relying on Adam John and J.J. Williams and Kubo Torres. You're in a much deeper, much more advantageous spot right now with your second and third choice strikers as you try to kind of float through the next couple weeks and get to the international transfer window. And I would assume that they'll try to sign a first choice caliber striker then.
Yeah, I mean, you have to. I don't think these are the kind of goals you can count on. And it's good that you get them because you haven't been getting them this season. But what you can take away from the two is the Jhande Silva one, the finish is great. He almost lost it on the dribble. He went for a low percentage dribble. That's okay. Little fortunate on it kind of bouncing, I think, off his shin, like into a spot to where you have a low percentage shot, and he hammered it. That's just quality. The first one, there's a little bit in it in terms of what you can take away. It's a long ball from Brad Guzan because you have the 1v1, and Rob Valentino talked about it afterwards, where if you've got a 1v1 50, 60 yards down the field, you play it. It's low percentage, but you're also getting the ball into the attacking half. You're getting it away from your own goal, and it's 1v1. You see what can happen. And Rios does a really good job because he doesn't win it. He gets to the spot, he gets close, Mikael gets to it first. And then what Rios does is he jumps, he forces Mikael into, the only thing he could do is either put it out for a throw or try to play it back to his goalkeeper. He tries to play it back to his goalkeeper. That's what Rios bet on, and he blocks it. Then he continues the good play with the back heel to Brennan. Brennan slips the cross underneath the defender. Almada forces a save, and full credit to Rios. He does all of that, and he stays connected into the play and is in the right spot, right time, puts it home. That's something – it's not that you can recreate all of those aspects of it, but it's the counter pressure and it's the directness that works out in that situation. And I think you're going to see more of both of those in various ways, not in a carbon copy of that, but in various ways for this team right now.
Over the next month here, guys, I'm looking. Atlanta United has 6 MLS games. 5 of them are on the road. They've also got a U.S. Open Cup match. But 5 of your next 6 MLS games on the road. As Rob Valentino is taking over this team and trying to enact some change and trying to find some results, quite frankly, how do you do that with the schedule? I know there's some winnable games on there in terms of the teams, but Going on the road is still a difficult task.
I haven't been very good at home, so, I mean, it's not like, yeah, I wouldn't be overly intimidated about going on the road at this point. Like I said, D.C. has not won since they won here in mid-May. Lost again tonight, 1-0 to Charlotte. You go to St. Louis, they have really been struggling this year. Now, again, this is kind of the odd thing. Atlanta United gets punished because they have a good roster. They have players on international call-ups. D.C. does not. St. Louis does not. Toronto, who comes in here at the end of the month, does. They have significant international call-ups. So that might be a spot on the schedule where Atlanta United gets a break. New England has been pretty much the worst team in the league this year, although they did show a little bit of a sign of life tonight against Vancouver. Boy, help me out. After New England, it's
Royal Salt Lake.
That will be very, very tough.
Yeah, of course.
Going out there, very, very, very tough. And then you've got Indy 11, and then you go to Montreal the following Saturday. Look, you got to take it one match at a time at this point. I hate to use that cliche, but I think that's where you're at right now. You've got to take it one match at a time. I do think back in 2021, when Rob was appointed interim head coach, this team really did come together on a road trip, and it was a long road trip, a little bit similar, honestly, Jason, to what we're going to do this week. Atlanta United will go to D.C. on Tuesday. They're staying out on the road. They're not coming back to Atlanta. They're going to D.C., and then they're going to fly to St. Louis. So they're going to spend 5 days away from home. 2021, what happened? We went to Montreal, spent a couple days there, went to Columbus, got a draw, and then a win. Rob's first, and they won three in a row after that. So, and I think if I remember correctly, Jason, Rob bought dinner. I'm not joking. He took the team out to dinner in Columbus, and that might have been a moment, honestly, where, things started to coalesce a little bit. So maybe you got something similar on this road trip. I don't know. But I don't look at this stretch with nearly the same fear and intimidation as I looked at the month of May where you're playing, or late April going into May, where you're playing Philadelphia, Cincinnati. You got to play Miami on the road. You got to play Minnesota, who I don't think they showed a ton of quality here, but they're better than you. You have opportunities to get points, and I know a lot of people listening to us don't want to hear it. You're not that far below the playoff line right now. You had 1 point per match in the first half of the season. That's not good, but you're not out of it. You're close. You string a couple wins together. Like a match like tonight becomes a win instead of a draw. You're right back in this thing with plenty of time to go.
You win two games in a row and everything starts to turn in the table. That's the nature of MLS. It's the nature of this season especially. It's not a cliche when it's true. You do have to take it one game at a time right now because of what you have available roster-wise and not knowing what you're going to have 3-4 days later. Because right now, I don't really know what the lineup in D.C. is going to look like coming out of this. You know, Derek Williams, can he go another 90 again on a Wednesday? Dax McCarty, can he go another 90 again on a Wednesday? So you've got those fatigue issues with either guys who are just older or guys who are coming back from injury. You're hopefully going to get Steon Gregerson back to at least supplement the back line here soon. He wouldn't be able to start straight away. Now you've got Mosquera, and it sounds like a scan is going to be done tomorrow. I'm not sure what the injury was. You'll hopefully have a sense of that before the trip, if he goes on the trip or not. It's literally like, who do you have available game to game? So that means the tactics are going to change a little bit. That means the formation might look different. It's what you have to do in these moments is what you did tonight. Those two goals that we talked about, they're not the prettiest. I mean, the finish from Sean De Silva is great, but they're not pretty goals in design or you know, the build-up or any of that. But they did them. They found it. They found a way to make it happen. Now you've got to clean up the defensive side, but you just have to grind these games out. And if that means you win with less than 50% of the possession, that means you win by getting outshot. If that means you win when you're outplayed, but you get a little bit of good fortune your way, that's just what you have to do. So it's literally just fighting for 90-plus minutes game after game with whoever can stand up at that time.
Yeah, and Atlanta United, of course, they take that trip to D.C. United on Wednesday, June 19th, and then stay on the road, St. Louis, on June 22nd. Maybe a free meal is exactly what they need, and I'll take some food recommendations.
Well, they always get free meals, but this one was at a restaurant. I'm not joking. Some of the players talked to us about how meaningful that was. And look, Rob is very well respected in this dressing room. He's a good communicator. The players are going to fight for him in the same way they fought for Gonzalo Pineda. But I think you brought it up, Garrett, a couple weeks ago. Sometimes the best thing you can do when you're in the you-know-what is get away from home. And now Atlanta United's going to get a week away from Atlanta where they can maybe treat it like a mini training camp for a couple days.
Yeah, maybe just take a breath. And we'll get Mike Conte's food recommendations here on the other side. This is the Full-Time Report. Atlanta United does play to a 2-2 draw with Houston Dynamo. More reactions here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game on the other side.
Full-time!
This report
on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Welcome back into the Full-Time Report. Final couple of minutes here at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Abe Gordon, Garrett Chapman, along with Mike Conte and Jason Longshore. And guys, I'll be honest. We're sitting here in the press box watching them essentially tear down the field, getting ready for a changeover. And, you know, I've kind of called this, and it feels like every 2 years it just gets bigger and bigger and bigger. Obviously the World Cup 2 years ago, but now it's the summer of soccer. You've not only got the Olympic tournament, which I'm into, you've got Euros going on, started yesterday and had a trio of matches today. You've got Copa America coming, not only coming, but coming here to Atlanta. We just had the soccer tournament in Cary, North Carolina, which I thoroughly enjoyed watching quite a bit of action of. This is the summer of soccer. And there's a lot of sports going on in Atlanta, right? You've got the Falcons in their offseason. You've got the Hawks with the number one draft pick. The Braves have actually scored 5-plus runs in 3 straight games. Who knows what's going to happen next? But this is like the summer of soccer. It's a great time to be a soccer fan in America, but certainly here in Atlanta, and Copa is going to get kicked off here with a huge, huge fan base, Argentina coming into town. It is just another step for Atlanta becoming, I don't want to overstep or trash any other cities, but the soccer capital of this country, in my opinion.
Don't get me started, because I will step on other cities, and I will tell them that this is Soccer City USA. And I know that Seattle and Portland get mad about that, and others do too. So what? You're going to have to deal with where things are now, because the Copa America, the longest running tournament in this hemisphere for national teams, is kicking off in our city on Thursday. I don't think people understand what's coming. I don't know if people in Atlanta soccer understand what's coming, let alone Atlanta sports. I said when the World Cup announcement was made that it was going to be like having 8 Super Bowls, and there were a lot of people who pushed back on that. First off, you're wrong. It is. And this is going to be like a Super Bowl on Thursday. The reason why a lot of people don't necessarily know that or maybe give it as much credence is because a lot of the conversation about it's in Spanish. And look, if you're going to be involved in soccer in this country, you need to understand the Spanish language portion of it. You don't have to speak Spanish. I did not grow up speaking Spanish. I fell in love with the game, watching a lot of it in Spanish because that was the only way I could watch it.
Yeah, same.
I fell in love with the game because of Diego Maradona and Argentina. And, I mean, I decided when we were figuring out what these trips were going to look like for Atlanta United, like, I had to be here when Argentina is going to be in Atlanta, in my hometown. Argentina's playing in the building that I get to work in most of the year, and it is a huge, huge deal. Their arrival was treated like a team arriving at the Olympics on Argentine television today. They arrived downtown at the hotel, and it was treated like an Olympic team arriving at the Olympic Village.
Wow.
It is a massive deal. The eyes of the world will be on Atlanta on Thursday.
Yeah, it's a huge tournament, and I mean for somebody like me who's really getting used to getting into these big national tournaments, I'm really very, very excited to see it come and get the front stage here here in Atlanta. Real quick, last question for me, guys, and I'm going to keep it on this topic just because we do have the Euros, we do have Copa and everything else that's going on. Who are the favorites in your eyes? Like, who's going to walk away with trophies? What do you think?
Well, Copa, Argentina, Euros, France.
France, I mean, the Euros, I don't think there is really an established favorite. I think every one of the favorites has questions. England was the betting favorite going in. France was second. Germany is one I think you really have to watch out for. They're going to get the home tournament feel a little bit as they build momentum, and they looked great in the opener.
5-1.
France has the best player in the world right now in Kylian Mbappe in terms of impacting games and turning them on his head. I mean, he almost did it single-handedly in the World Cup final against Argentina. If he is playing freely, as I would think that he would now that the Real Madrid move is done, I think France is going to be the team to beat in the Euros, but it's not a lock. Argentina is definitely the favorite in the Copa America. Brazil is in a down portion of their cycle. I mean, Ronaldinho says he's not going to even watch them anymore, although some of the players said that he was asking them for tickets, so take everything with a grain of salt. Do not sleep on Uruguay. That is Marcelo Bielsa's team, and they demolished Mexico about a week ago. They beat Argentina last year in World Cup qualifying. This is a very dangerous Uruguayan team. And they're going to give Argentina a lot to handle. And just for U.S. fans, the U.S. should get out of their group. That should be the minimal expectation. Mm-hmm. They're going to face Uruguay in the last group stage game. That's a good test going into the knockouts. But they need to have their business handled by the time they get to that game, because you do not want to go into game three needing something and seeing El Loco on the other side, who will have a diabolical game plan for you to deal with.
Yeah, and the U.S. got a 1-1 draw against that struggling, if you want to call it that, Brazil squad. But before that, they got, quite frankly, embarrassed by Colombia. And so looking to a rebound from that. The rosters are set for Copa America. A lot of Atlanta-based kids. For representing on the U.S. men's national team. So we definitely look forward to that. All right, we are coming back on Wednesday against D.C. United on the road. Audi Field, Atlanta United will try and get a road victory, pick up 3 points. Mike and Jason will be there in D.C. with the call. That is going to do it here on the Full-Time Report. A 2-2 draw for Atlanta United against the Houston Dynamo tonight here at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. For Garrett Chapman, I am Abe Gordon. For Mike Conney, Jason Longshore, for Dom Turoski back in studio, and Rick Shaw here on site. Thank you guys so much. This is the Full-Time Report on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
You've been listening to the Full-Time Report, a complete wrap-up of today's Atlanta United game.
Tune in for complete match day coverage all season long. The home for our Atlanta United is Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
With more full-time report.
A complete review of today's match on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Welcome back into the full-time report. Garrett Chapman, Abe Gordon, joined by the voices of Atlanta United, Mike Conti, and Jason Longshore. As Atlanta United does end their losing streak at home, but they don't end the winless skid, that it moves to 7 games, courtesy of a 2-2 draw with Houston Dynamo. Make sure you are getting those questions into us on Twitter at GChapATL, at Abe Gordon, at Longshoe, and at Mike Conti 929. We will take your questions there. Make sure to get them into us as we go along. We got 2 segments to go, so make sure you get those in. But guys, I do have one question here, and I want to kind of frame it. It was more of a statement than a question, but I'm going to turn it into a question. We do get 2 goals today against a very dynamic defending squad in Houston Dynamo, and we do that without the designated player at striker, Yorgos Giakoumakis. What did you see from these guys in attack, and how good is it to see Jean De Silva continue to score goals?
Well, 2 very different types of goals. The first one starts on a little bit of a gift, where you get a zone 14 turnover. Rios is able to kind of then make something out of, I don't want to say out of nothing, but out of a low odds position where he backheels to Brennan. The ball eventually cycles back off a rebound from an Almada shot, and Rios scores. I don't think that's any proof of, well, if Giakoumakis was playing, that might have unfolded differently. I think it was just a good, persistent goal by Atlanta United. The second one was a golazo by Jean De Silva. Really good decision by him to take that tough angle shot. I thought the goalkeeper, Steve Craig, completely baffled. Didn't even move. Look, you're going to see a lot of Jamal Thiaré and Daniel Rios going forward, and eventually this summer Atlanta United will have to sign another striker. But as we have said before, this is not going to be the same as 2020, when Joseph Martinez was hurt and you were relying on Adam John and J.J. Williams and Kubo Torres. You're in a much deeper, much more advantageous spot right now with your second and third choice strikers as you try to kind of float through the next couple weeks and get to the international transfer window. And I would assume that they'll try to sign a first choice caliber striker then.
Yeah, I mean, you have to. I don't think these are the kind of goals you can count on. And it's good that you get them because you haven't been getting them this season. But what you can take away from the two is the Jean De Silva one, the finish is great. He almost lost it on the dribble. He went for a low percentage dribble. That's okay. A little fortunate on it kind of bouncing, I think, off his shin, like into a spot to where you have a low percentage shot, and he hammered it. That's just quality. The first one, there's a little bit in it in terms of what you can take away. It's a long ball from Brad Guzan because you have the 1v1, and Rob Valentino talked about it afterwards, where if you've got a 1v1 50, 60 yards down the field, you play it. It's low percentage, but you're also getting the ball into the attacking half. You're getting it away from your own goal, and it's 1v1. You see what can happen. And Rios does a really good job because he doesn't win it. He gets to the spot. He gets close. Mikael gets to it first. And then what Rios does is he jumps. He forces Mikael into the only thing he could do is either put it out for a throw or try to play it back to his goalkeeper. He tries to play it back to his goalkeeper. That's what Rios bet on, and he blocks it. Then he continues the good play with the back heel to Brennan. Brennan slips the cross underneath the defender. Almada forces a save, and full credit to Rios. He does all of that,
and he stays connected into the play and is in the right spot, right time, puts it home. That's something – it's not that you can recreate all of those aspects of it, but it's the counter pressure and it's the directness that works out in that situation. I think you're gonna see more of both of those in various ways, not in a carbon copy of that, but in various ways for this team right now.
Over the next month here, guys, I'm looking at Atlanta United has six MLS games. Five of them are on the road. They've also got a U.S. Open Cup match. But five of your next six MLS games on the road, as Rob Valentino is taking over this team and trying to enact some change and trying to find some results, quite frankly, how do you do that with the schedule? I know there's some winnable games on there in terms of the teams, but going on the road is still a difficult task.
I haven't been very good at home, so I mean, it's not like, yeah, I wouldn't be overly intimidated about going on the road at this point. Like I said, DC has not won since they won here in mid-May, lost again tonight, 1-0 to Charlotte. You go to St. Louis, they have really been struggling this year. Now, again, this is kind of the odd thing. Atlanta United gets punished because they have a good roster. They have players on international call-ups. D.C. does not. St. Louis does not. Toronto, who comes in here at the end of the month, does. They have significant international call-ups. So that might be a spot on the schedule where Atlanta United gets a break. New England has been pretty much the worst team in the league this year, although they did show a little bit of a sign of life tonight against Vancouver. Boy, help me out. After New England, it's
Royal Salt Lake.
That will be very, very tough.
Yeah, of course.
Going out there, very, very, very tough. And then you've got Indy 11, and then you go to Montreal the following Saturday. Look, you got to take it one match at a time at this point. I hate to use that cliche, but I think that's where you're at right now. You've got to take it one match at a time. I do think back in 2021, when Rob was appointed interim head coach, this team really did come together on a road trip, and it was a long road trip, similar to a little bit similar, honestly, Jason, to what we're going to do this week. Atlanta United will go to D.C. on Tuesday. They're staying out on the road. They're not coming back to Atlanta. They're going to D.C., and then they're going to fly to St. Louis. So they're going to spend 5 days away from home. 2021, what happened? We went to Montreal, spent a couple days there, went to Columbus, got a draw, and then a win. Rob's first, and they won three in a row after that. So, and I think if I remember correctly, Jason, Rob bought dinner. I think I'm not joking. He took the team out to dinner in Columbus, and that might have been a moment, honestly, where, things started to coalesce a little bit. So maybe you got something similar on this road trip. I don't know. But I don't look at this stretch with nearly the same fear and intimidation as I looked at the month of May where you're playing, or late April going into May where you're playing Philadelphia, Cincinnati. You got to play Miami on the road. You got to play Minnesota, who I don't think they showed a ton of quality here, but they're better than you. You have opportunities to get points, and I know a lot of people listening to us don't want to hear it. You're not that far below the playoff line right now. You had 1 point per match in the first half of the season. That's not good, but you're not out of it. You're close. You string a couple wins together. Like a match like tonight becomes a win instead of a draw. You're right back in this thing with plenty of time to go.
You win two games in a row and everything starts to turn in the table. That's the nature of MLS. It's the nature of this season especially. It's not a cliche when it's true. You do have to take it one game at a time right now because of what you have available roster-wise and not knowing what you're going to have 3-4 days later. Because right now, I don't really know what the lineup in D.C. is going to look like coming out of this. You know, Derek Williams, can he go another 90 again on a Wednesday? Dax McCarty, can he go another 90 again on a Wednesday? So you've got those fatigue issues with either guys who are just older or guys who are coming back from injury. You're hopefully going to get Steon Gregerson back to at least supplement the back line here soon. He wouldn't be able to start straight away. Now you've got Mosquera, and it sounds like a scan is going to be done tomorrow. I'm not sure what the injury was. You'll hopefully have a sense of that before the trip, if he goes on the trip or not. It's literally like, who do you have available game to game? So that means the tactics are going to change a little bit. That means the formation might look different. It's what you have to do in these moments is what you did tonight. Those two goals that we talked about, they're not
the prettiest. I mean, the finish from Sean De Silva is great, but they're not pretty goals in design or you know, the build-up or any of that. But they did them. They found it. They found a way to make it happen. Now you've got to clean up the defensive side, but you just have to grind these games out. And if that means you win with less than 50% of the possession, that means you win by getting outshot. If that means you win when you're outplayed, but you get a little bit of good fortune your way, that's just what you have to do. So it's literally just fighting for 90-plus minutes game after game with whoever can stand up at that time.
Yeah, Atlanta United, of course, they take that trip to D.C. United on Wednesday, June 19th, and then stay on the road, St. Louis, on June 22nd. Maybe a free meal is exactly what they need, and I'll take some food recommendations.
Well, they always get free meals, but this one was at a restaurant. I'm not joking. Some of the players talked to us about how meaningful that was. And look, Rob is very well respected in this dressing room. He's a good communicator. The players are going to fight for him in the same way they fought for Gonzalo Pineda. But I think you brought it up, Garrett, a couple weeks ago. Sometimes the best thing you can do when you're in the you-know-what is get away from home. And now Atlanta United's going to get a week away from Atlanta where they can maybe treat it like a mini training camp for a couple days.
Yeah, maybe just take a breath. And we'll get Mike Conte's food recommendations here on the other side. This is the full-time report. Atlanta United does play to a 2-2 draw with Houston Dynamo. More reactions here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game on the other side.
Full-time!
This report
on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Welcome back into the full-time report. Final couple of minutes here at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Abe Gordon, Garrett Chapman, along with Mike Conte and Jason Longshore. And guys, I'll be honest, we're sitting here in the press box watching them essentially tear down the field, getting ready for a changeover. And, you know, I've kind of called this, and it feels like every 2 years it just gets bigger and bigger and bigger. Obviously the World Cup 2 years ago, but now it's the summer of soccer. You've not only got the Olympic tournament, which I'm into, you've got Euros going on, started yesterday and had a trio of matches today. You've got Copa America coming, not only coming, but coming here to Atlanta. We just had the soccer tournament in Cary, North Carolina, which I thoroughly enjoyed watching quite a bit of action of. This is the summer of soccer. And there's a lot of sports going on in Atlanta, right? You've got the Falcons in their offseason. You've got the Hawks with the number one draft pick. The Braves have actually scored 5-plus runs in 3 straight games. Who knows what's going to happen next? But this is like the summer of soccer. It's a great time to be a soccer fan in America, but certainly here in Atlanta, and Copa is going to get kicked off here with a huge, huge fan base, Argentina coming into town. It is just another step for Atlanta becoming, I don't want to overstep or trash any other cities, but the soccer capital of this country, in my opinion.
Don't get me started, because I will step on other cities, and I will tell them that this is Soccer City USA. And I know that Seattle and Portland get mad about that, and others do too. So what? You're going to have to deal with where things are now, because the Copa America, the longest running tournament in this hemisphere for national teams, is kicking off in our city on Thursday. I don't think people understand what's coming. I don't know if people in Atlanta soccer understand what's coming, let alone Atlanta sports. I said when the World Cup announcement was made that it was going to be like having 8 Super Bowls, and there were a lot of people who pushed back on that. First off, you're wrong. It is. And this is going to be like a Super Bowl on Thursday. The reason why a lot of people don't necessarily know that or maybe give it as much credence is because a lot of the conversation about it's in Spanish. And look, if you're going to be involved in soccer in this country, you need to understand the Spanish language portion of it. You don't have to speak Spanish. I did not grow up speaking Spanish. I fell in love with the game, watching a lot of it in Spanish because that was the only way I could watch it.
Yeah, same.
I fell in love with the game because of Diego Maradona and Argentina. And, I mean, I decided when we were figuring out what these trips were going to look like for Atlanta United, like, I had to be here when Argentina is going to be in Atlanta, in my hometown. Argentina's playing in the building that I get to work in most of the year, and it is a huge, huge deal. Their arrival was treated like a team arriving at the Olympics on Argentine television today. They arrived downtown at the hotel, and it was treated like an Olympic team arriving at the Olympic Village.
Wow.
It is a massive deal. The eyes of the world will be on Atlanta on Thursday.
Yeah. It's a huge tournament. And, I mean, for somebody like me who's really getting used to getting into these big national tournaments, I'm really very, very excited to see it come and get the front stage here here in Atlanta. Real quick, last question for me, guys, and I'm going to keep it on this topic, just because we do have the Euros, we do have Copa and everything else that's going on. Who are the favorites in your eyes? Like, who's going to walk away with trophies? What do you think?
Well, Copa, Argentina, Euros, France.
France, I mean, the Euros, I don't think there is really an established favorite. I think every one of the favorites has questions. England was the betting favorite going in. France was second. Germany is one I think you really have to watch out for. They're going to get the home tournament feel a little bit as they build momentum, and they looked great in the opener.
5-1.
France has the best player in the world right now in Kylian Mbappe in terms of impacting games and turning them on his head. I mean, he almost did it single-handedly in the World Cup final against Argentina. If he is playing freely, as I would think that he would now that the Real Madrid move is done, I think France is going to be the team to beat in the Euros, but it's not a lock. Argentina is definitely the favorite in the Copa America. Brazil is in a down portion of their cycle. I mean, Ronaldinho says he's not going to even watch them anymore, although some of the players said that he was asking them for tickets, so take everything with a grain of salt. Do not sleep on Uruguay. That is Marcelo Bielsa's team, and they demolished Mexico about a week ago. They beat Argentina last year in World Cup qualifying. This is a very dangerous Uruguayan team. And they're going to give Argentina a lot to handle. And just for U.S. fans, the U.S. should get out of their group. That should be the minimal expectation. Mm-hmm. They're going to face Uruguay in the last group stage game. That's a good test going into the knockouts. But they need to have their business handled by the time they get to that game, because you do not want to go into game three needing something and seeing El Loco on the other side, who will have a diabolical game plan for you to deal with.
Yeah, and the U.S. got a 1-1 draw against that struggling, if you want to call it that, Brazil squad. But before that, they got, quite frankly, embarrassed by Colombia. And so looking to a rebound from that. The rosters are set for Copa America. A lot of Atlanta-based kids. For representing on the U.S. men's national team. So we definitely look forward to that. All right, we are coming back on Wednesday against D.C. United on the road. Audi Field, Atlanta United will try and get a road victory, pick up 3 points. Mike and Jason will be there in D.C. with the call. That is going to do it here on the Full-Time Report. A 2-2 draw for Atlanta United against the Houston Dynamo tonight here at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. For Garrett Chapman, I am Abe Gordon. For Mike Conney, Jason Longshore, for Dom Turoski back in studio, and Rick Shaw here on site, thank you guys so much. This is the Full-Time Report on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
You've been listening to the Full-Time Report, a complete wrap-up of today's Atlanta United game.
Tune in for complete match day coverage all season long. The home for our Atlanta United is Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Full-time!
This report
on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Welcome back into the Full-Time Report. Final couple of minutes here at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Abe Gordon, Garrett Chapman, along with Mike Conney and Jason Longshore. And guys, I'll be honest, we're sitting here in the press box watching them essentially tear down the field, mm-hmm. getting ready for a changeover. And, I've kind of called this, and it feels like every 2 years it just gets bigger and bigger and bigger. Obviously the World Cup 2 years mm-hmm. ago, but now it's the summer of soccer. You've not only got the Olympic tournament, which I'm into, you've got Euros going on, started yesterday and had a trio of matches today. You've got Copa America coming, not only coming, but coming here to Atlanta. We just had the soccer tournament in Cary, North Carolina, which I thoroughly enjoyed watching quite a bit of action of. This is the summer of soccer. And there's a lot of sports going on in Atlanta, right? You've got the Falcons in their offseason. You've got the Hawks with the number one draft pick. The Braves have actually scored 5-plus runs in 3 straight games. Who knows what's going to happen next? But this is like the summer of soccer. It's a great time to be a soccer fan in America, but certainly here in Atlanta, and Copa is going to get kicked off here with a huge, huge fan base, Argentina coming into town. It is just another step for Atlanta becoming, I don't want to overstep or trash any other cities, but the soccer capital of this country, in my opinion.
Don't get me started, because I will step on other cities, okay. And I will tell them that this is Soccer City USA. And I know that Seattle and Portland get mad about that, and others do too. So what? You're going to have to deal with where things are now, because the Copa America, the longest-running tournament in this hemisphere for national teams, is kicking off in our city on Thursday. I don't think people understand what's coming. I don't know if people in Atlanta soccer understand what's coming, let alone Atlanta sports. I said when the World Cup announcement was made that it was going to be like having 8 Super Bowls, and there were a lot of people who pushed back on that. First off, you're wrong. It is. And this is going to be like a Super Bowl on Thursday. The reason why a lot of people don't necessarily know that or maybe give it as much credence is because a lot of the conversation about it's in Spanish. And look, if you're going to be involved in soccer in this country, you need to understand the Spanish language portion of it. You don't have to speak Spanish. I did not grow up speaking Spanish. I fell in love with the game, watching a lot of it in Spanish because that was the only way I could watch it.
Yeah, same.
I fell in love with the game because of Diego Maradona and Argentina. And, I mean, I decided when we were figuring out what these trips were going to look like for Atlanta United, like, I had to be here when Argentina is going to be in Atlanta, in my hometown. Argentina's playing in the building that I get to work in most of the year, and it is a huge, huge deal. Their arrival was treated like a team arriving at the Olympics on Argentine television today. They arrived downtown at the hotel, and it was treated like an Olympic team arriving at the Olympic Village.
Wow.
It is a massive deal. The eyes of the world will be on Atlanta on Thursday.
Yeah, it's a huge tournament, and I mean for somebody like me who's really getting used to getting into these big national tournaments, I'm really very very excited to see it come and get the front stage here in Atlanta. Real quick, last question for me, guys, and I'm going to keep it on this topic, just because we do have the Euros, we do have Copa and everything else that's going on. Who are the favorites in your eyes? Like, who's going to walk away with trophies? What do you think?
Well, Copa, Argentina, Euros, France.
The Euros, I don't think there is really an established favorite. I think every one of the favorites has questions. England was the betting favorite going in. France was second. Germany is one I think you really have to watch out for. They're going to get the home tournament feel a little bit as they build momentum, and they looked great in the opener.
5-1.
France has the best player in the world right now in Kylian Mbappe in terms of impacting games and turning them on his head. I mean, he almost did it single-handedly in the World Cup final against Argentina. If he is playing freely, as I would think that he would now that the Real Madrid move is done, I think France is going to be the team to beat in the Euros, but it's not a lock. Argentina is definitely the favorite in the Copa America. Brazil is in a down portion of their cycle. I mean, Ronaldinho says he's not going to even watch them anymore, although some of the players said that he was asking them for tickets, so take everything with a grain of salt. Do not sleep on Uruguay. That is Marcelo Bielsa's team, and they demolished Mexico about a week ago. They beat Argentina last year in World Cup qualifying. This is a very dangerous Uruguayan team. And they're going to give Argentina a lot to handle. And just for U.S. fans, the U.S. should get out of their group. That should be the minimal expectation. Mm-hmm. They're going to face Uruguay in the last group stage game. That's a good test going into the knockouts. But they need to have their business handled by the time they get to that game, because you do not want to go into Game 3 needing something and seeing El Loco on the other side, who will have a diabolical game plan for you to deal with.
Yeah, and the U.S. got a 1-1 draw against that struggling, if you want to call it that, Brazil squad. But before that, they got, quite frankly, embarrassed by Colombia. And so looking to a rebound from that. The rosters are set for Copa America. A lot of Atlanta-based kids for representing on the U.S. men's national team. So we definitely look forward to that. All right, we are coming back on Wednesday against D.C. United on the road. Audi Field, Atlanta United will try and get a road victory, pick up 3 points. Mike and Jason will be there in D.C. with the call. That is going to do it here on the Full-Time Report. A 2-2 draw for Atlanta United against the Houston Dynamo tonight here at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. For Garrett Chapman, I am Abe Gordon. For Mike Connie, Jason Longshore. For Dom Cherovsky back in studio and Rick Shaw here on site, thank you guys so much. This is the Full-Time Report on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
You've been listening to the Full-Time Report, a complete wrap-up of today's Atlanta United game.
Tune in for complete match day coverage all season long. The home for our Atlanta United is Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.